remain standing and let's all pick a text from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 to verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Apostle Paul was admonishing that young man of God, Pastor Timothy. And it's not only Pastor Timothy, it is to every brother and sister Timothy, and every pastor, everybody, Christian brothers and sisters. Verse 14, he said, of these things, put them in remembrance. And that is exactly what I am doing here, because I am also another pastor. Charging the believers before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word, of all those who are messing up the word of God, will eat as doth a canker. Of whom are two prominent ministers of his days. And in our own day also, we have them. We have many more Himanioses and Philotoses, who concerning the truth, they have erred. Among the false doctrine they preached at that time, they were teaching at that time that the resurrection is past already, and by that teaching have overthrown the faith of some. Even in our day also, there are profane teachings that are overthrowing the faith of many. Nevertheless, verse 19, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. May the Lord grant us understanding of his word in the name of Jesus. Please be seated, and let's go straight to try to conclude what we started last year, and see if we can finish studying the book of Daniel. We are now in the book of Daniel chapter 9. And the first part of that study was more of introduction. And I pray that God will cause us to say it enough for somebody to understand what that book is all about and how it is relevant to us even in this day. Daniel chapter number 9, and it's not a very long chapter, so I don't know if one scribe here, there's one scribe that sits somewhere there, if he can read it for us. Yes, you're a scribe and not a Pharisee.
I read from verse 1.
Please, we'll be making reference to it, so that's why I want us to read through, so that when we're making reference, you can understand what we're talking about. It's Bible study. Go on.
In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books that the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant, God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity. and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as this day to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are here, and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee.
That's okay, it. Okay. God bless you. Just be seated. I want to emphasize some things. And that was the prayer he was offering, making intercession, pleading for the nation of Israel. And in verse 16, he says, he continues, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thy ear and hear. Open thy eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thy own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. That was Daniel's prayer. He was seeking the face of the Lord. And verse 20. And while, remember this prayer, it was while Daniel, they were in captivity, since the time Nebuchadnezzar came and scattered that city. It was for all the abomination Israel was doing. And Jeremiah prophesied, we see that in Jeremiah chapter 25, how that for that reason, he, God, will send a nation that will come and take them and give them captivity for 70 years. And the Bible says that in verse 2, it suddenly occurred to Daniel. I'm re-emphasizing this for somebody who may be hearing it for the first time. And every service, somebody is sitting down here for the first time. Or somebody is hearing the message for the first time. Even if you may be a member and may not know we have taken it before. One way or the other, we have tried to emphasize these things. You have to understand that Daniel knew they were in captivity. Daniel knew the cause why they were not in their own land, the land of Palestine, the land of Israel, and why the whole city was destroyed, the temple pulled down, everything, and they are in this miserable estate, yet a people of God. They had fallen out of favor with God because of their iniquities. I say, the Bible, we are not studying a history of some people. We are studying our God, how he relates with his people. And salvation is a divine agenda of God. Salvation is a divine agenda of God. So, understanding that helps you a lot. Understanding that helps you a lot. When you understand that salvation is God's own divine agenda, then you will understand what the Bible refers to as the mystery of God. This God that we serve is mysterious. Let me make this comment for emphasis, please. It will help you. You that say God call you into the pastoral ministry, into any other ministry. Many of you come to me and then you get worried. My ministry is not growing. People will come. People will ask, I am not there. The ministry is not growing. And then I'm facing frustration. When you look at me like this, I will ask, so what do you want me to do? Is it your business? If you are employed in a company, if you are employed in your company and the company is not making the required profit, there's only one reason that you'll be worried. Eh? Because there may be downsizing or right-sizing. Because you're afraid that you may lose your job. That should be the only fear, that you may lose your job. The person that gets worried is the owner of the company, the shareholders, that will lose all their shares, lose all their investments. Not you. The Bible says, Jesus himself said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What is the solution? He said, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send the laborers. It's not your business. Did he send you or you sent yourself? And that is why you should not make ministry your job, where you eat from. If not, you will soon be afraid that you will lose your job. No food. You don't get food to eat. Don't make ministry your source of food. Once you can achieve that in serving God, that ministry is not your source of food. Once you can achieve that, there will be no hypertension as far as ministry is concerned. Play your part efficiently, effectively. Do what you're supposed to do. If God give you 10 people, now 10 people now he give this ministry. Do your best with the 10. Be faithful with the 10. Stop comparing yourself with somebody who has 1,000, you have only 10. Stop doing that. And that's the reason why people lower the standard of the gospel. So that people will come in. Don't help God like that. There is a divine agenda. There are some scriptures that when you come across like this, your head will scatter. What is this? And from the look of things, therefore, this earth seems to be a testing ground of the sovereignty of God. And the Bible says, He, God, has created all things for what purpose? For His pleasure. He created all things for His pleasure. I want you to know that there is nothing that is going on now that is by accident. And it will look as if the forces of darkness and forces of evil, that as if they have defeated God. But they have not defeated God. If he allows them, they are only going to work out his purpose. We are just playing out an agenda that God himself has created. After some time, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us how this present setting that is on now will be rounded up. And then after that, we are entering into eternity. But actually, that only ends the program. We don't know what next God will do. We don't know what else God will do. He started this with angels. We know the story of how the angels come about. And we know how the whole thing will also end even with the angels. But by the time God finishes his own good pleasure, is all he'll be fulfilling. So, it is important that we know these things so that your heart is not troubled. I told you during the crossover vigil, little thing will happen in the world like this. Blind people will be, they'll be running up and down, running up and down. Those of us that understand that there is an agenda, when we see happening, happening, we will go to the book of the agenda. Amen. And find out what is happening. Donald Trump decided that he's moving his embassy from Tel Aviv in Israel to Jerusalem because he believes that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, irrespective of what the Palestinians are trying to do concerning that city. And the whole world was shaking up and down. Hey, hey, the end has come. Hey. And the worst of all is these so-called end-time message believing preachers. Unfortunately for them, they don't go beyond the sermon books of William Branham. So they tried to search the quotes of William Branham. They didn't see Trump. They are still searching to see what did the prophet say? Which prophet are you looking at? That prophet William Branham came to point us to this book. And this Bible does not show me anything concerning America and Trump as far as what will happen to Israel is concerned. So why am I shaking? Trump will only stay there maybe maximum of 8 years. And his policies will only continue as long as he's there. If he leaves tomorrow, and another president comes that is not a Christian, does not believe what the Bible says, he can overturn whatever he's doing. Secondly, amen. Hallelujah. Look at Israel. Just look at Israel. Every inch of the promised land, right from Joshua, who was the first that moved them to that promised land, the conquest of Jericho, the first city they conquered, it was by battle. Everywhere they conquer is by, every inch of their land was by battle. Even from 1946, 47, 48, coming back to that land, they are there today by battle. Until today, they are still fighting battle. Every time God wants to expand the land and give them more of their land, since they came back in 1946, took root in 1948, since that period, it has always been war. The largest portion of that land was collected in that six-day war, when the whole Arab nations gathered against them, a little nation that did not even have a strong army, so that God will show this Arab nation that these are my people. I gave them this land. They have problem with me, not you. I allow you to come and take over, for the whole earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I give and I take. I gave this to them. Nothing you can do. He allowed all the nation around them. If you read that story, it's very interesting. Everybody will know there is God behind these people, even in their fallen estate. God that keeps covenant. And that was when they collected land, even entered Lebanon, entered Egypt, collected the Golan Heights, collected everything. You read the history, until the Egyptian president had to come and enter accord with them to withdraw. Promise that we will not attack you again. Give us back our land. You promise, say, write it and sign. Then Israel released their land to them and came back to their territory. Would you fear a nation like that? Until now, Syria, Lebanon, all the neighboring countries, they are still occupying Jordan. The country of Jordan is Israel land. One of these days, according to this Bible, all that land will be collected back, including Jordan. And it will be collected by battle. And when God wants to take his glory, he will not share it with any man. Concerning America, he will not share it. Share the glory of Israel taking over their land with America. And you say America has been the one supporting Israel. Look very well. All the millionaires and the billionaires and all the scientists in the NASA, National Space Agency, and all whatever it is, watch very well. They are Jews. They are Jews in America that God positioned there to boost the strength of Israel. And that is why America will continually back Israel. And they will back Israel, not because they are Americans, but because there are Jews that are there. God kept them there for that purpose. And Donald Trump is not a Jew. Donald Trump is a politician. Donald Trump is a smart politician. He's a very, very smart politician. You know why? Because a preacher showed Donald Trump that anyone that blesses Israel, God will bless the person. If you stand for Israel, God will stand for you. And that's why in his campaign, he kept talking about Jerusalem, Israel. I will do this. I will do this. And he's the only president that has done that during campaign. And while he was doing that, others were talking other things. And God is saying, because you recognize Jerusalem, I will bless you. You take over. Whether you were a politician before or not. Praise the Lord. For this singular action, God may bring Donald Trump a second time. Except Donald Trump wants to spoil any program, God may say, he don't do. Bring one renegade to be there so that I can do my program. But I'm only stressing this, taking time to stress this, for you to understand the need for you to study the scripture. That God himself is in a divine agenda. And don't sit down and just wake up in the morning and they ask you, you say you're a Christian. I was a Muslim, now I'm a Christian. And what you actually mean is the equivalent of, I was PDP before, then vexed me for there. Now I come APC. And that is why you go to church. The reason you change your church is because they vexed you for your former church. They vexed you, they got you angry. So you decided to leave and look for pride. That's why you are here. Very soon, another person will vex you for here. You go move again. Praise the Lord. It's not because of a revelation. It's not because of a revelation. And please listen, church. Praise the Lord. Listen. Don't just be religion. The time for religion has passed. Hey. And that is why we are studying this, so that you will know how short our time remains. It is an agenda and item by item, so that you'll understand Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20, where Apostle Paul says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. He said, Jesus Christ being the what? The chief cornerstone. The chief corner. The meaning of that statement is that because there is always a junction, and Christ is the one to tell you when next to bend in the building that is going on now, called the body of Christ, the temple of God. And that is the peculiarity of Daniel. Daniel is a type of that bride of Christ, that elect of God, that although Daniel was in captivity of the enemy, he knew that something happened that brought us to this estate. That's my emphasis. Something happened that brought us to this estate of being in captivity like this, a peculiar people. So also, the whole world, this is not how God intended man to be. Something happened that got us like this on the children of God now. Witches and wizards are tormenting us. Hunger tormenting us. Fear tormenting us. Sicknesses and diseases tormenting us. This is not what God intended his children to be when he created Adam and Eve. Why are we in this estate? Something happened. Would you go back and find out what happened? Now, something happened that got us to this estate. So, what is the solution out? What is the way out? Would you find that out? So that you will also know how to escape from this captivity that we are in. Or at least, prepare your mind that God that allowed it to happen, his mercies have also made provision for it to end. When is it going to end? And when it ends, will I go with him or I will remain here? That is how you should be thinking. He said you are busy. Your favorite message is now prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. Sow and reap, sow and reap. That's all. See the emphasis they give to first fruit. With all their wrong teaching about it, because they will make more money from it. You know how to do deliverance. You know how to do dry fasting for witches not to touch you. But you don't know anything about the end of this program. And all you do is, I belong to this church. I am a church worker. I am a pastor. And nothing more. You begin to promote yourself from pastor to reverend. From reverend to reverend doctor. Reverend doctor to left reverend, right reverend. And all the title, the peer, as if it has anything to do with that agenda. It has nothing to do with the agenda. And Daniel is a type. That in this estate that we are in, I know when it began. So the Bible says he understood by books. And this is the book. It is also books. Because there is the book of Jeremiah, book of Isaiah, book of Zephaniah, book of Zechariah, book of Ezekiel, book understood by books. The period that this captivity was supposed to last, and by the time he was looking and checking, he discovered that they had spent already 68 years. So how many years remaining? Answer me. How many years out of 70 years? Remain 2 years. You know, I'm always emphasizing this. If it remained 2 years, if Daniel knew that it remained only 2 years for the captivity to be over, the bride of Jesus Christ will also know how many more years left for us to go in the rapture. That's what I want to prove. That is what I want to prove today. So that I will leave you to make the calculation so that nobody will say I'm giving date or time. Nobody will know the date, nobody will know the time, but we will know the season. A girl to be married, we know the date, her wedding date. The bride of Jesus Christ, our marriage, the rapture, we will know. If Daniel knew that remaining 2 years, and take note, when it remained 20 years, it didn't dawn on Daniel for that. When it remained 50 years, it didn't dawn on Daniel for that. But when it remained, 2 years, time is running out. God himself was the one that awakened Daniel to it. And what is it that will awaken Daniel to begin to study? It will not be enjoyment. It will be frustration. And more frustration. Frustration and more frustration. And more frustration. There will be distress. When the children of Israel in Egypt, the prophecy was about to be fulfilled. God had told Abraham that your children will sojourn in a strange land for 400 years. He said, after the fourth generation, 400 years, he said, he will bring them out. And when the period reached for him to come, God made sure that he increased the taskmasters, they increased the task of the Jews. Their sufferings increase. The reason is so that they will cry. They will see nothing good. They will not remember that they are suffering this thing for a reason. They will have reason to look away, look out for a way of escape. And God, to confirm it, told Moses, I have heard the cry of my people. I have seen their affliction. He didn't see it for the last 300 years. He saw it only after the time he has appointed for them to come out was fulfilled. The same thing that is going on now. All these past ages, nobody bothered with the gospel of the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. People were busy with prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. But suddenly now, the real children of God, the real elect of God, they are the ones suffering frustration more than anybody else. It's not every Christian that is suffering, no. God himself will ensure, and he's ensuring now, that we are undergoing stress so that nothing on earth here will mean anything to us to the detriment of our soul. So that all our attention now will be home going, and we are like the young bride anxiously waiting, because every bride, hallelujah, every bride, let me not say every bride, some bride, when your marriage, when you are due, young girls, young women, when you are due for marriage, when you are not yet due for marriage, doesn't concern me, when you are due for marriage, there will be, and then you are not getting overdue, bad-mouthed people will be talking nonsense around you. If you are sitting down, relaxed, now your mama will even start up. Every day. Your mate, they marry up and down. You sit down for here. They, if you vex them, now your marriage will use curse you. If you everything, my mama waiting and I go marry myself. Go find husband. All that is doing is to take your attention away. Very soon, the home becomes uncomfortable to you, and now all your mind is, where will I go? Where will I go? You start now, your attention is now in a man's house. That is the condition of the church now. At this estate, at this stage of God's program that we are here, any of you listening to me now, if you are not looking forward to the soon coming of the Lord, you are not yet part of Him. You are not His bride. The true bride now, we are anxious to go. Let me tell some of you here, if it is not that God is against suicide, there are some of us that will kill ourselves to be with Him. There's nothing any more attractive on earth here. Look at the evil before you. Look at how human life has been reduced to what it is. Animals now are given more dignity than human beings. Life now is just meaning stress everywhere. Stress, stress. You go out, your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife goes out. Your heart is not at peace until he comes back. If he's late by 1 hour, fear. Whether they don't kidnap him, or whether ritual killers don't carry and go. No peace anywhere. How can us be at peace on this earth? Distress everywhere in the land. Like Daniel, he began to search. And suddenly, the burden came upon him. And he began to intercede for his people. Hallelujah.